Well, here we are. We have traveled with Jesus this week through a lot of pain, a lot of suffering, and finally death. And today, we hear the different story, the end of the story. We hear the story of resurrection. I'm going to be reading today from Matthew chapter 28. I'm going to begin with verse 1 and read through verse 10. If you have your Bibles today, you're more than welcome to read along with me. If you don't, you're welcome to listen as we read the story of the resurrection. After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the tomb. Look, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven. Coming to the stone, he rolled it away and sat upon it. Now his face was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so terrified of him that they shook with fear and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Don't be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here, because he has been raised from the dead, just as he said. Come and see the place where they laid him. Now hurry, go and tell his disciples, he's been raised from the dead. He's going on ahead of you to Galilee, and you will see him there. I've given this message to you." With great fear and excitement, they hurried away from the tomb and ran to tell the disciples. But Jesus met them and greeted them. They came and grabbed his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go and tell my brothers that I'm going into Galilee. They will see me there." May the Lord add a blessing to both the hearing and the reading of his holy word. And let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you so much for the opportunity we have to gather together as a community of faith. We thank you for the way that your Spirit has moved through this gathering thus far, and we pray that your Spirit would continue to move among us. Lord, I ask in the next few minutes that I might decrease in this place in order that Jesus Christ might increase. And I pray, Lord, that my words would be your words. And God, as always, we humbly ask that you would open our ears, open our minds, but most of all, dear God, open our hearts, that the words that you have for us today might be more than just information, but we pray, Lord, that your word would transform us, that it would go deeply within our hearts and transform us from the inside out, that we might leave here today ready to go and share your love and be your people. All this we ask not because of who we are, but because of our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ. And it is in the name of Jesus that we pray together this morning, saying, Amen. Well, I don't know about you, but I've got this smartphone that seems to be smarter than I am. And yesterday, I had this interesting experience. Twice yesterday on my phone, I was trying to type in the word resurrection. And there's this thing called autocorrect. Have you had any experience with this? They should call it auto-confuse, I think, because it never, ever gets the word right that I'm trying to spell. Twice yesterday, I was sending someone something, and I tried to type in resurrection, and both times, autocorrect changed that to redirection. So I began to think that maybe God was trying to speak to me about what resurrection really was through autocorrect. You know, we love the resurrection story. This story that's come to us from the Gospel of Matthew is a fascinating one, isn't it? It's a fascinating resurrection story. But you can't really understand the resurrection story in Matthew unless you read what comes before it. And what comes before this resurrection story is the story about how guards came to be placed at the tomb. The chief priests and the Pharisees go to Pilate and they say, "We remember that this deceiver said, After 3 days, I will arise. So they asked Pilate if he would order the grave to be sealed until the third day. Otherwise, somebody might come and take the body and claim that he's been raised from the dead. And here's their words. This last deception will be worse than the first. So Pilate agrees, and they station guards at the tomb. And this reminds me of how much we human beings like to act out of fear and control what happens and what God does, don't we? We love to act out of fear and try to control what God does. But you heard the story I read to you from Matthew. Did the guard thing work? No, it didn't work. As a matter of fact, the guards were shaking after the appearance of the angel and the stone being rolled away. And the guards fall away in a dead faint. And the angel tells the two Marys, fascinating that the two Marys would be the ones that go to the tomb, because after all, they were the ones who'd been Jesus through his life. They stayed at the cross until he was dead. And it's just fitting that they would be the first two that come to the tomb. But the angel says, don't be afraid. And these are key words, I think, if we are to understand resurrection. Because what resurrection should tell us is don't be afraid, because we react and act so much out of fear in our lives, don't we? And many times, just like the leaders, the scribes, the Pharisees, we want to control God and tell God what God can and what God cannot do. Amen? Because we want God to be safe. We want God to do this thing, but not that thing. We want God to act in this way. And we certainly don't want God busting out of any place where God ought not to bust out of. Well, hello. The resurrection kind of busts that story wide open, doesn't it? I mean, it really does. It changes everything. Because in spite of the fear, in spite of the guards, Jesus will not be contained by the grave. He will not be held back by fear. And certainly, as one of my colleagues pointed out, one of the reasons that the tomb was borrowed was that Jesus wasn't going to need it for very long. Amen? Jesus wasn't going to need it for very long. But it makes me think how many times you and I operate out of fear because we want God to be safe. We want God to be in this place where we can somehow control him. And yet God says, that doesn't work. And just to make the point very, very clear, Jesus encounters the Marys as they're going back to tell the disciples about what's happened. And what's the first words Jesus says to them? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You see, sometimes I think it's our fear that holds us back more than anything. Our fear that God might act. Our fear that God might do something. Our fear that God might really be God. That the resurrection might really be something that impacts us and not something that we just celebrate once a year as we come together for Easter. I found this wonderful poem. It's by a woman named Cheryl Lowry, and it's called You Do Not Give Up, and it gets right to the heart of what resurrection is all about. You do not give up on the broken and the lost. You do not give up on the fractured or the shattered, or the dying, or the dead. You do not give up on the fearful, or the hateful, or the impossible. You do not give up when there is no heartbeat left, or no heart at all. You do not give up. You do not leave us for dead. Thank God. you do not give up. And to me, if there's a message that comes to us through these resurrection stories, and particularly in this resurrection story, it's that God doesn't give up on us even when we're trying to keep God away. Even when we've posted guards. Even when we've said, God, I don't want you to come near. Reminds us a lot of what Martha told Jesus in John 11. Lord, you can't roll that stone back. And once again, Jesus said, hey, watch this. Watch this. So perhaps the message today for all of us is a message of resurrection might really be redirection. It might be God saying to us, don't be trapped by your fears, by your misunderstandings, by your concept of what you think I can do. But instead, believe. Believe that I have not given up on you, nor will I ever give up on you. You see, I think that's one of the most powerful messages of the resurrection, that God does not give up on us. God does not let us be shackled by our own fears. God does not give on us, as the poem said, even when we're dead, even when we're dead. So if there is a message in this today, a message we can take for us about the resurrection, is that perhaps God wants us to no longer live in fear. And brothers and sisters, there is much in our world to fear. There is much that causes fear to rise up in each one of us. But the resurrection says to us, your fear is not the last word. Your fear is not the last word. And never give in to your fear, because the resurrection proves that God is for us, each and every one of us. That God, as Janet so nicely put it in the children's message, loves each and every one of us, and that we no longer have to be held captive by what we are afraid of. But instead, we can hear the call of the angel, we can hear the call of Jesus, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Jesus walks into new life, and he offers us the opportunity to walk into new life as well. And brothers and sisters, that's exciting news, because that means we don't have to live the way we always have. We don't have to believe that it is what it is. We don't have to believe that things will never change, because if Jesus walked in to new life, then we too have the opportunity to walk into new life and to not be held captive by our fears, but instead to be redirected by the resurrection and to know that God is always with us. And fear, our need to control, our desire to have a God who is safe. No, brothers and sisters. If anything, we have a God who is wild and woolly, a God who has come back from the dead, and a God who invites us to do the same, to no longer live in death, to no longer live in fear, but to walk with him in new life. Because you see, in this story, one of the things that the angel says to the two Marys is, he has risen just as he said he would. I don't know about you. I've heard a lot of promises in my life. I've heard promises from politicians. I've heard promises from employers. I've heard lots of promises from a lot of people. But this promise, just as he said he would, is a promise that you and I can hang our very lives on. Because he is not dead. He is risen, just as he said he would. And perhaps we can walk with him in new life, no longer bound by the shackles of fear, no longer bound by the chains of what's always been. But maybe we today can commit to walk with Jesus into that new life that he has promised us. Because of all the promises made by all the people for all time, the one promise that brings us together on this Easter, the one promise that we hang on to, is that he is risen and life can be different. And he does not want us to wallow in fear, but he wants us to walk with him in new life. That's an awesome promise, isn't it? That's a promise we can live for. That's a promise we can live into, just as he said. Just as he said. Amen. Amen.